In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners of Mount St. Michael, we are celebrating the anniversary of the dedication of a basilica that the one that was established or built on the mountain where he appeared in the 5th century is obviously still standing. I think there was another basilica in Rome, but over the course of the centuries, it did not stand the test of time. Like many other things, it did deteriorate and was not rebuilt. So we are celebrating the saint who has been given to us from the earliest days of the Jesuit missionary activity. And when this place was built, it was called Mount St. Michael. And I remember when we moved in 1978, I thought there might be a name change. Because, you know, that saying, under new management, we have a new name. But fortunately, it did not change. It continued to be called Mount St. Michael. And we glory in that fact that he is and continues to be our special patron. As we know, the word Michael comes from the Hebrew, and it literally means who is like unto God. And we see the Latin for it in the stained glass window there to the left of St. Michael, quis ut Deus. That's the Latin way of saying, who is there as God, or who is like to God. And we are told that this was the battle cry of this angel, who is called an archangel, but because he's listed ahead of all the angels, he seems to be the highest angel in heaven. And we read in the Apocalypse how God commissioned him to lead a great battle against the rebellious angels. They were not in the heaven of the beatific vision. They couldn't have been, but they were in the heavens. They had to pass a test, in other words, a test of some kind, because every person, every being with a free will, in order to get a reward, has to pass a test. You don't get 100% if you didn't take the test and get every answer right. You had to do the thing that merited the reward. So God created these pure spirits, evidently before he created the human race, because we know that the devil in the form of a serpent was tempting Eve. So this already happened, the creation of the pure spirits. And by that fact, they are on a higher level than we are. Our body, it's not a bad thing, but it does weigh us down, so to speak. It's material. It's less perfect than things that are purely spiritual. Our souls are, of course, connected with our bodies. But they are that interesting combination. Each and every human being is this amazing creation of spirit and matter put together. And as we know, spirit and matter don't go together by nature. But God put each one of them together. That's what makes us a special creation. But going back to the angels, they were created as pure spirits with great knowledge, great powers, and they were put to a test. And it is thought that about a third of the angels rebelled, because in the Apocalypse we read about the dragon dragging his tail through the skies and pulling down a third of the stars. And what's the number of angels? Countless. We could never compute the number of angels. So it's very, very great how many good angels there are, the ones that said yes to God, that passed the test, And then there's that many, many numbers of fallen angels, devils. Satan is a word used to describe the either the leader of the devils or the devils in general. Beelzebub is another name. And it's hard for us to fathom how wicked and how evil they are. And guess what? They hate you in a way you could never fathom. Why do they hate you so much, and me and all other human beings? Because we have the chance to be with God forever, and they gave up their chance. They threw it away. And they only needed one chance. God gives us countless chances in life. But the angels, with their superior intellect, they only needed one chance. And the bad angels could not, in their pride, submit to God and pass the test. So there was this great battle, and Michael, definitely the one who said yes to God, who cared about God, was sent along with the good angels to fight. And there was a tremendous battle, greater than any battle here on earth. And they were cast out of heaven, out of the heavens, into hell. God could have done it himself. He didn't need St. Michael and the angels to fight this battle. But you see how God works? He works through secondary causes. He involves people in the struggle for good. And one of the clear messages I'm sure that we get on the Feast of St. Michael and from him generally is that we too are part of a battle. God sent him into battle. God sends us into battle. And who are our enemies? The world, the flesh, and the devil. That spirit of worldliness. Try to have your heaven now. Our own fallen human nature, which is our greatest enemy. And then the devil never sleeps. Doesn't have to. He doesn't have a body. So he's going after us to whatever extent God allows. Fortunately, his power is limited. His power is, as St. Augustine says, he's like a chained dog. That's the analogy that he gives. So we are in a battle, my dear brethren, whether we like it or not. We are called to spiritual warfare. We must fight against our own fallen human nature, that when it inclines us to sin, we must fight against those temptations which come from the devil. And he conspires with our fallen human nature, and he's conspiring with the world too. He's the prince of this world. That's straight out of Scripture. So we are in a battle. And it's the daily battle to be faithful to God. And we get stronger by fighting. And this is what the reward will be for a life of faithfulness to God. Yes, we will fail and fall at times. But the important thing is to keep on going. Don't quit. Don't give up. Remember, God's grace is greater than any problem we could ever have. And we reach out to God for those graces in prayer. As St. Alphonsus says, many of the graces that we need will come to us only through prayer. That's why we have to have a robust, persevering, strong, daily prayer life. We are also called to battle the world, and not just to resist that materialistic and worldly spirit that is there. And by the way, we don't hate the world itself, because God created all material things. They're not evil. But we have as an enemy the spirit of worldliness. And that also manifests itself in the corruption of the world. It is breathtaking to see the corruption going on in the world. It's stunning. And it just seems to keep getting worse. And on this day in which we think of St. Michael leading the battle, I want to remind you of Catholic Action. This is something that the popes of the 20th century, prior to Vatican II, of course, they stopped it with Vatican. It didn't go on after Vatican II, that's for sure. But fighting against evil in public society. And this is, by definition, cooperating with the clergy in doing good works that promote moral values in society. That is part of the battle that we're in. That's Catholic Action. I don't want to go into detail on this with the time element, but I remember giving a talk on this at the Fatima conference a couple of years ago, and it's something that needs to be definitely talked about from time to time. So how are some, these are some practical things we can do as Catholic Action. And obviously it's always legal and moral. We don't ever advocate any sinful activity. The end does not justify the means. But besides voting for good candidates and good measures, be involved in contacting your representatives, especially when there's a moral issue that was voted on. And there are moral issues. One of the main ones, pro-life, protecting the innocent unborn. And even if these representatives espouse evil causes or somebody you would have never voted for, they still need to hear from you. I know some zealous individuals who have had their representatives on speed dial, and they let them know whether they support or oppose something. That's an example of Catholic Action. The Fatima Rosary March that we do once a month during the summer month, that's Catholic Action. Praying in front of a Planned Parenthood, that's Catholic Action at work. Helping get evil books out of libraries. It's stunning to see what perverse books are in school libraries and even regular libraries. And sometimes people have organized to help get those out. That's good. That's promoting morality. Protesting evil movies. I remember being part of this. There's been terrible movies put out. And of course, not only the immoral ones, but the ones that attack the Catholic faith. Show protest to that. We have a couple of guilds, the Our Lady of Fatima Guild, that has the rosary prayed in care facilities. That's Catholic Action. The Rosary and Scapular Guild, passing those out, helping people to make use of them. That's Catholic Action. We also aim to put up a billboard soon about praying the rosary. So something like that is something you can support. And then there's other examples, but I'll end with this one. The apostolate of good example. You know, our Lord tells us about how evil bad example is in today's gospel. If anyone teaches one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it were better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, our Lord is speaking figuratively here. He's not telling us to sell millstones. And he's not talking literally when he says, if your eye is a scandal to you, pluck it out, or if your hand or foot is an occasion of sin, cut it off. He's speaking dramatically, he's speaking figuratively to get a point across. And our Lord is telling us what an evil thing it is to show someone, especially someone younger, how to commit a sin. Woe to the world because of scandals. For it must needs be that scandals come, but woe to the man through whom scandal does come. So having said how bad example or scandal is, by that token we can understand how good example is. We have a saying, or there's a saying in Latin, I'm forgetting the exact words, but the translation of it is, words attract, but example pulls. Actions speak louder than words. Don't forget to give that good example. And that is Catholic action too. People know who you are and what you stand for by the things you do and the things you say. So on this Feast of St. Michael, let us recommit to among other things, giving that example of that good example, and that will inspire others to do good. So St. Michael, assist us in the battle. Help us to be courageous. Since it's a war, there are going to be wounds, spiritually speaking, but we are going to persevere, and we know that we are called to be faithful to God under your leadership and your example. Who is like unto God? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.